Brought to you by Burr Foreman and broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Results Matter Radio, where we bring you pertinent business information and offer real-life solutions to help drive desired results for you, whatever your business may be.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Results Matter Radio. Stone, how are you doing today?
I am doing well, and I know that you are the one with the life. You're the one that goes out and sees all the good movies and, again, goes to the great restaurants, but I have a cooking secret to share with you, partially borrowed from our buddy McKendrick.
Okay.
So I thought I remembered his chef when he came and visited with us at the table saying something about a coffee
room. Chef Tom. Yes.
Who is also quite the photographer, the photo bud.
Right.
He said something about a coffee rub. So last night it was up to me to cook the pork loin. So I did a coffee rub. Now I think Chef Tom's coffee rub may be a little more sophisticated. My coffee was the Kroger on sale coffee. I rubbed it into the pork loin. I'm telling you, it was absolutely fantastic.
So it was used coffee grounds?
No.
What'd you do?
Brand new coffee grounds?
You rubbed ground it on the pork? Ground it just for the pork?
No, it was already ground. This is separate and apart from the espresso machine.
All right.
I know we've talked about the espresso machine. I rubbed the coffee on, throw it in the oven at 350. Came out absolutely delicious. Now, we were bouncing off the walls for a couple of hours, but I thought I would share that little tidbit with our listeners.
That's a great tip.
Yeah, and so relevant and connected to our
exactly.
to the theme of our show today, right? We're going to find a way to get this connected because this is going to be a fun segment. We're going to get a chance to visit with the Executive Director of Women in Technology. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast Miss Monica Thornton. How you doing?
Thank you. I can help connect that if you like.
Okay, go ahead.
Fantastic.
For women in technology, we get up really early because we're still trying to break through that glass ceiling. So coffee, is king or queen for us.
Why don't you share with our listeners a little bit about women in technology, your mission, and what you're trying to do for folks out there?
Sure. Women in Technology is a group that formed over 20 years ago to support women who are in STEM careers. And STEM careers are science-based, engineering, technology, or math-based careers.
Right.
And our organization, we really have a great thing that we're doing. We start with girls in middle school. We work with girls in high school and in college. So we're trying to get those girls early
right?
who are interested in those kinds of careers and who are, you know, good in those kinds of subjects. Get them to stay focused, you know, give them kind of some camaraderie with other women and girls who are like-minded and, you know, are studying in those same areas.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go on to high school and we give them, you know, more in-depth kind of experiences where now they get to, job shadow
right.
with women in those careers. And then we go to college where it's even a deeper dive, where it's almost a sorority because we're going to their campuses, we're taking them off campus, we're giving them the behind the scenes opportunities to kind of see women actually in these roles, talking to those women, having some mentorship relationships, and then we follow those women into their careers and we provide professional development for them. And once you're in those careers and we're providing that professional development, we give you an opportunity to give back. So WIT is really an organization that's primarily run by women who are women in technology or in STEM careers who give back, and they support all the programs I just talked about. And we follow them all the way through retirement so that there's always an opportunity
right, there's
for
a place for them.
There's a place for you on the circle, we call it.
Now, why don't you share, because I think our listeners will be kind of shocked, the amount of women that are in technology careers.
Yeah, well, it's actually, there are lots of women in technology careers. It's hard for me to put the exact number on it, but where the contrast becomes evident is really when you look in the leadership roles
right.
in companies and you look into the boardrooms. We're not there. And so a part of what we're doing is trying to make some inroads for women who certainly can compete and have the same skill set. But, you know, people tend to hire people who, you know, look like them
right.
and, you know, who they've had relationships with through, you know, their careers and in college. And so we're trying to bridge that gap. That is really where, you know, we're missing. So we're in companies all over the world where we're, you know, in middle management. Very few of us are, you know, in the top ranks, in
right.
the C-level at companies. And we're trying to do something about that. I know you probably saw Twitter take some heat recently.
Right. And they're not the only technology
And they're not the only technology company.
They just happen to have an IPO.
They just happen to be
so
the one that was in the spotlight.
Right.
But it does kind of shed the spotlight on why an organization like ours must exist. And I have to say that we don't only support women. We also support men. We have forums monthly that we engage women and men because, if people can feel comfortable and know that this person sitting beside me has the same skill set and can
right.
do the job
and
can
add trust
to
them
it, and I can trust yeah. them, then it's a bridge to collaborate together.
Right.
So we want to make sure, I take time to tell the listeners, not just for women,
right.
For men too, to support their careers.
Now, we've had the pleasure to do live broadcasts at several of the WIT Connect events where it's kind of an auction for
yeah.
Time with some of the leading companies, chief information officers or chief
technical officers.
Right.
Uh-huh.
What an event. And during that time, we've had the chance to interview some of the girls that are in like robotic programs mm-hmm. or winners of different kind of prizes that you guys are sponsoring or affiliated with. It is to see the enthusiasm and energy from these kids. It's just
and the confidence that those young women display when they come and they get on the air live with us, and the passion is. I mean, it is so. I'm a father of two girls,
yeah.
And it's just. I mean, it just absolutely warms my heart to see that.
Well, the thing that we know about girls and boys. I mean, kids are now. If you have kids, you know they're born smart. They're born much smarter
right.
than we were,
and they're comfortable
so they
with
come
technology.
Here and they're comfortable with technology. Where girls are really still kind of where that gap starts. And I personally believe I'm raising three boys. And I believe.
You want to trade with some?
Probably when it's time to clean the bathroom. It's time. You can have it. But one thing that I think, you know, in terms of our development, our emotional and our mental development as young women, you know, when we start going through those kind of physical changes, it's the same times that boys start excelling in those STEM courses.
Right.
And I think there's some correlation there that perhaps we're missing.
Uh-huh.
But I think what we're doing and what we're providing for girls is an outlet where they can be comfortable with other girls who are going through the same
right.
things, and they can work on their strengths and talents in those areas, and they can really excel. And so we know they have the smarts, and now giving them, you know, the kind of opportunities
right.
that
a path,
allow them
and so
a path.
To see role models
absolutely.
That it's possible and it's not uncool
it's not
to
uncool.
Do these things.
And you know, girls really do get IT.
It's right.
not a boy world.
Right,
they
exactly.
get it. And so you know, we're starting to see, you know, even the toy makers and
mm-hmm.
you know, people who are designing apps and
right.
all
well,
of those.
I'll tell you, my wife watches Project Runway,
mm-hmm.
and I've watched it with her. And they use technology all the time.
Absolutely.
They're designing things. I saw an episode recently where they designed a whole fabric based on a print that somebody took a digital picture, and then they kind of manipulated it on a tablet. And then that becomes printed, and then they're making fashion
mm-hmm.
out of it. I mean, that's technology.
That's technology. You're speaking to something that, you know, it's dear to me, and why this coming into this role right now is just like the whole universe is coming together, and it's the right time. There's a movement afoot, and you've probably heard about this, the makers kind of movement, where you really are, people have gone back to, you know, I say we're in a creative age where really the talent and where the jobs are being created
right.
is in that space where creativity and technology meet each other.
Right.
And the kinds of things that are going on with jewelry making. I mean, you can just go.
Right.
It goes,
and crafts and
crafts
art.
Crafts
right.
and arts. I mean, the shows that we're seeing on television, Pimp My Chopper or
right.
Deck Out My, you know, that's all technology.
Exactly.
And it's very, very cool. And we are breaking down those barriers of who, you know, are on the other end using that technology and doing something with it to move it further. So it's
and the price
time.
And the technology has enabled anybody to have access. I
absolutely.
Mean, pretty much anybody
and
can play with this and learn if they're interested.
And the other wonderful part about that too is it breaks down some of those barriers.
Right.
So you kind of have the anonymity in that technical
right.
space.
You don't know if the creator was
know.
White, black,
young,
male,
old,
woman, old,
whatever
right.
those
it could be anything.
Are.
You just
doesn't
go, this
matter.
Is cool. I
this
like
is cool,
this.
I like it.
Or I don't, you know.
Yeah. And so it's an exciting time, and I'm just thrilled that the women who are already involved in this wonderful organization have looked at me and said, you have something to bring to the table. Because I can tell you, I walk in the room quite frequently and feel very inadequate with all of these very, very bright, smart women.
So what is your backstory? How did you land here?
Well, I've had an interesting backstory, actually. I'm an Atlanta native, and I have to say that I am one of the most fortunate people in our state, in our country. I've had an amazing career. I started my career in broadcasting like you guys. I started at WSB-TV back in the late 80s and had a wonderful ride there. It was like getting a master's. I was still in college, actually, and I was like getting a master's. They gave me an opportunity to work full-time during the day. And so I went to Georgia State at night and got my degree. And by the time I graduated, I had 2 or 3 years of actual experience under my belt and took off from there. I was in marketing most of that time and got an opportunity to go into community affairs, which really gave me kind of a different standpoint of how the media could be used to support our community and, mm-hmm. and move certain agendas forward. And so that led me to really thinking about nonprofit space, and I worked for United Way, which gave me some exposure to many, many, many nonprofits doing wonderful things in our community. And so I've kind of taken all those things and eventually pulled those back together and went to Georgia Public Broadcasting, where it's almost a nonprofit and it's kind of a TV, radio kind of deal, and that was a lot of fun. And then I got tapped to do an amazing job with Piedmont Park Conservancy, where for the last 9 years, I have been their senior vice president, responsible for all of fundraising, marketing, crisis communications, branding, and all of those things, and had the opportunity to raise over $42 million to help expand the park by 40%, 52 new acres that are online and coming online in the next few years. And we did a ribbon cutting in June, and I thought, okay.
Now what?
Now what? And this opportunity came about that time, and it was just, you kind of know when it's the right thing and the right time. And so I've been very fortunate to do some incredible things. We're right now in the midst of a strategic plan that I think is really going to, put our name on the map so that people really know who we are as an organization and what we do, and that we are more robust than we are now.
Now, is Women in Technology, is this an Atlanta-only group, or is this a national group?
There are actually, we're not affiliated with a national group, but there are other Women in Technology groups around the nation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then what's your vision going forward? Is it to kind of collaborate more with them? Or
We're certainly looking at that. Again, going back to technology
right,
allows
it's about connecting,
you
right?
to connect beyond your boundaries. We're certainly, we are one of the founding societies of TAG, Technology Associates of Georgia, Association of Georgia. And through TAG, we are expanding our reach as well. And we're able to work with some of the other groups in some of the other states, especially on our program side. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of interest in, our programs, and they are replicable. So we can take those programs and we can share what we know with our sister organizations around the country and collaborate that
right.
way.
And vice versa.
And vice versa, because sure. what's ultimately going to happen, and we would love to keep all of these smart women in Georgia and for them to choose our institutions to be educated and then go right into our workforce.
Right.
But, some of them are going to make different choices and go other places.
Sure.
But we want to continue those relationships with them. We want to make sure that wherever they go, they have a support system that, also helps them. So we are looking at other organizations to collaborate with for those reasons.
So now, earlier you mentioned that you help women at pretty much any part in their career, from even before they even have a career to when they retire. One of your initiatives is the Women of the Year in Technology Awards. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. We have a gala in November that celebrates women in technical careers mm-hmm. or in companies where they're doing a job that's, STEM-based or, technically based. And those women have achieved, some of the highlights or, of their careers, and they have been nominated by either their peers or the people in the industry as leaders. And so we have three categories: a small category, a medium-sized category, and an enterprise category.
And that goes by
companies.
Not revenue, but a number of employees.
By number of employees. Mm-hmm. And so these women are really at the top of, you know, their game. And it was one of the first experiences I had with the organization, going into where they had all of the applications and they were trying to call it down to the finalists. And
how many applications did they have?
I'm not certain for this year, but hundreds of applications come in.
So people take this very seriously.
Like,
this is an important award.
It's an important award. And it's interesting because the women are not nominating themselves. It's often not self-serving. Mm-hmm. You know, these are women mm-hmm. who truly have rolled up their sleeves. Along with striving to be the best in their careers, they're also giving back and they're, you know, making themselves known as people who really
are leaders. Right.
And so they're being nominated by other folks. And sometimes, you know, they're uncomfortable even with the nomination.
When you tell them, they're like, really?
They're like, really? Wow, that's flattering.
That person should be nominated.
So, it's a fun process, and there really are. The women are amazing, and the gala itself. So they go through this process of being nominated,
right.
And they are told oftentimes, you've been nominated.
Do you narrow it down to a finalist?
And then we narrow it down to three finalists in each category.
And do you tell them?
Or they don't find out until the night of the gala.
So the
absolutely.
So the finalists know they're finalists?
They know that they're finalists.
But the winner isn't revealed until
so we reveal the nine finalists at an event that's like a month before the gala. So you have, from the time you've been nominated, which could have been June, July.
Right. You got to wait patiently.
Right. So we help them learn patience in this whole process. And we have to really keep everything, you know. So
right.
You want to
tell you got to keep
it's
it
like,
secret,
oh, my gosh,
right?
It's amazing. And then so they actually know on the night of the event.
Is it like you wake up real early, like the Oscars? Somebody is
absolutely
sending an email at like 6 in the morning.
You're waiting for our Twitter feed right. That tells you like who the nominees are. Yeah, absolutely. And then also at that event, there are two other special awards that are given out. We have a legacy award who goes to someone who really has, you know, kind of broken I like to say in technology, the steel ceiling.
Right. It's not glass.
It's not
there.
Glass. Right. It's a little tougher. So, you know, you have a legacy, and this is our third legacy award this year. And we have
this is a relatively new award.
This is a relatively new award. Sandy Hoffman is, she already knows. She's the one person who knows that she's the winner. So Sandy, who has been involved with WIT
for
many years and certainly is seen in this space by men and women as a true leader and pioneer in many ways.
Right.
So Sandy's going to be awarded rightfully this year. And we also have a young woman who will be named our Girl of the Year. And so she does not know.
Is that's high school or that college?
That's how it could be in any of those areas. But
pre-career,
this is
right?
Pre-career. So this young woman is, I believe, in high school or close to that. I'm pretty sure she's in high school. But we have some phenomenal girls out there, too, who are doing
great
things.
So they are nominated as well, the same process?
They are actually, what's cool about this is these girls are nominated by companies who they have, earlier I talked about the career explorations.
Oh, so they've been maybe an intern or shadowed.
So they've gone to these companies and they've made some kind of impression.
Wow.
That the company said, that girl stood out.
Something special.
She's something special and we're going to nominate her, which makes it even more of a wow. Because, you know, in life we only have two opportunities to either make a first impression or a last impression.
Right.
And have the first impression ain't good. It's your last, you know. So these young girls are phenomenal. And it's a rewarding to us to just have the opportunity for them to come our way. And
so how do they know? So if they're invited, are there finalists for this or the person?
There are finalists for this.
Oh, wow.
Also, they know night of. So there's a lot of
tension
in the room.
That's
and
great.
It's really a great event.
And where is it held?
It's held at the Georgia Aquarium.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
That's where you do the WIT Connect,
that's where
right?
we do WIT Connect. So, yeah, the Georgia Aquarium has been a great
location. So this is like a dinner type
us.
Of an
it's
environment?
It's a sit-down dinner, and it really is an awards, you know, kind of program.
Do you have speakers throughout, or what is it?
Not,
it's mostly the awards?
It's mostly the awards, because we want them to take, you know, front and center and really get their due in front of their peers. So it's a networking event. But mostly it's about the women.
Now, order the coffee rub pork. It'll keep the energy up all night.
That sounds good. I may
take
you
a special
up on
request. Now, for you, is that your first big event that you're
this
doing
will be
since
my
you've been
first
executive director?
Big event. The announcement of the finalists was a semi-first,
right.
So that was interesting. And, you know, I told you guys before we got on the air, I've done public speaking, you know, most of my career.
Right,
and I'm used to just, you know, lights come on or the camera goes on and
off
you know,
go, right?
I jab. And I'm standing in this room with these women. I'm looking out over the audience and I'm just thinking, wow, can anything come out of my mouth that's halfway intelligent so that there's no judging? That's the upside downside of
right.
You know, being around a lot of women is you feel like, wow, you know, it what has been, I think, the most refreshing and encouraging thing about being in this space, and I say that jokingly, but the support that these women are giving
right.
to each other and how enthusiastic they are about rolling up their sleeves, giving back to WIT, and, you know, supporting each other in their careers.
Right. There's a lot of collaboration.
There's a lot of collaboration. And, you know, as a woman growing up in a family of, you know, mostly women, four girls, one boy, married a husband who had, he's the only boy with seven sisters, you know, I come from kind of a lot of women.
A lot of women.
So there was some apprehension about stepping into a role with a lot of women. But I have to say, pleasantly, it's been thrilling. There's so much in, you know, just enthusiasm for doing what we do.
So now, coming from a background that isn't really heavy in technology, mm-hmm. and now you're the executive director and you're going to get to kind of steer the ship a little bit, do you have a vision of how you'd like this to be?
Absolutely. I think for me personally, this is not something that's broken. You know, that's a nice part about coming into the organization. This is not something broken. Financially, they're well. And they're visionary. They already have vision.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what they want me to do, help kind of steer the ship so that, you know, we stay afloat and we go on and we can take on, you know, more passengers and kind of just build upon what is already great.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that there are lots of opportunities, you know, having fresh eyes on
right.
a lot of the things that we do. In terms of our speakers and bringing in, you know, a different level of speakers, just
right.
improvements that will enhance.
So it's kind
you know,
of tweaking.
What we're doing. It's kind of tweaking and it's
not,
fixing.
Right.
So I'm thrilled about that. And certainly, you know, building our capacity. I have a lot of experience, as I said, raising funds and bringing
right.
Sponsors and donors in and helping them understand what we do and how it connects. And it's an easy kind of thing because who doesn't want
right.
to make sure
this
that
is a noble cause.
It's
right.
it's a no-brainer, too, because, you know, honestly, the women that we have in our school systems today, in our technical, you know, colleges and universities, they are our future job pool.
Right.
And what a shame it would be not to have a way to, you know, give them a bridge into that won't keep them here.
Right.
You know? And so you have to support that. I mean, it's kind
now,
of a no-brainer.
Now, part of the mission of WIT is to engage these kids that are in middle and high school. Is there also a component where you're engaging their instructors, the educators, so they give them the tools so they can identify and not let somebody slip through the cracks?
Absolutely. We are working. That's interesting that you say that, and that's one of the things in our mm-hmm. strategic plan where we're trying to also go beyond our touch points with just the
right.
girls and to go deeper. Now that we're, especially on campus, we're doing the WIT on campus, which is the college campuses, we're having an opportunity to work with instructors for us to, you know, really engage the women and find out what it is they want. Because, you know, we're kind of taking it from the perspective of what I thought I would have needed
sure.
if I was, you know, at this point, and none of us are there. So we're really, you know, trying to have a collaborative conversation between the girls and their instructors so that we know how to really build and shape those programs. For the middle school and elementary school girls, you know, we've been invited to the table from, you know, the Georgia school system when they are thinking about curriculum and they are having conversations about what kind of tools are necessary. And so we're making sure that we're part of those conversations mm-hmm. as much as we can be because we're hearing from the girls
right.
and, you know, they're connected in a way that some of this stuff is organic. It's kind of coming out from them, and they're leading it, and they're telling us what we need to go back
right.
and do.
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, for being, number one, a guy, and just not, I'm not actively involved with you, but I've been in the periphery of some of the events and have talked to some of the people. I would think that there's tremendous opportunity to meet the girls where they are in terms of the stuff they like already. Like, they like fashion, they like celebrity, they like entertainment and mm-hmm. that portion of technology. And there's a lot of apps and opportunity to teach them how to leverage that mm-hmm. kind of passion they mm-hmm. already have. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'd like to see, I know the robotic thing is great and interesting, but to me that's more of a guy type right. of engagement, where it's, if you can do something that's related to fashion, entertainment, the things that they're talking about and really engaged with, that maybe you get some more traction and capture more
right.
people that are maybe on the, they're not all in, but they could be if mm-hmm. they were kind of pointed in that direction.
And I think that, you know, for me, when I was really looking at this opportunity and really thinking about it, you know, one of the things that I was having a disconnect with is that we do encourage girls to participate in all the STEM courses and
right.
to follow the careers of, you know, all STEM. And then, you know, we concentrate on providing this professional development for women specifically in technology. And although technology can totally go into any industry
right.
and what that is, I do believe that there's a much broader conversation that we can have, and that, you know, with my eyes being having been in different areas, that perhaps I bring some of that to
right,
the table
that fresh look
to
at
say,
this,
right,
right,
and we really are asking and talking to the girls and saying, what experience do you want to have?
Right.
And what can we do, and how can we connect you with your path and not
and
the
your passion.
Path and your passion.
Right. And then just maybe you can take your passion and then just show them how technology integrates with their passion.
Absolutely.
Because it does. I mean, these are the same kids that are on their phone 24/7, mm-hmm. that are on their iPad. They're touching technology 50 different ways every day. They're just not thinking in their head that they could be using the
that
maker
too,
of it, like
right.
you said earlier, mm-hmm. that they can be the creator of some of this technology.
And so there are those kinds of areas in terms of where we can grow.
Mm-hmm.
We certainly are looking beyond technology and looking at ways that technology
right.
goes into other areas and, you know, hopefully making a bridge for those girls in their minds.
Right.
Of how
that's
they see
that's what it is.
Now.
It's a mental constraint.
It's a mental
it's
constraint.
Definitely not anything that's other than that.
Mm-hmm.
They just have to believe that they can do
that
this.
That they can do this. And they can.
Right.
Gosh, we have so... The creativity part with the technology
right.
part is the, you know...
You
it's
just got to connect the dots and give them that, like you said, that path so that... And see a role model that's doing
that's
it.
That's doing it.
And saying that I can do this as well.
Yeah. I was actually listening to another radio interview coming in this morning, and I don't know the woman's full name, but she's from Atlanta, and she's a jewelry maker
mm-hmm.
who got a call, and it was from FLOTUS. And, of course, if you're in the business, you know that that's the
First Lady
of the United
right.
States, but she didn't know that at the time. And, but she was good at her craft, and
right.
so she got a call saying that FLOTUS wanted this jewelry to be made. And it's exactly that thing where this young girl started collecting rocks. She used to collect rocks, and she knew that she wanted to do something special with them, and she started making jewelry. And so she had to go to school to, of course, learn how to
right.
evaluate. You know, so that's one of those perfect stories of how, you know, you kind of take this obscure thing or passion that she has and gives her the right technology, and she creatively has created a, you know, a empire. She's built an empire for herself.
Exactly.
And we have to make those connections.
Right. So now, are you looking for sponsors? What are you charged with right now?
We're luckily, I don't know if it's just me
it's
showing
just you.
Up.
It's all you.
But, you know, the event itself is almost sold out.
Wow.
So if people are interested in being at this event and supporting the women who are there as our leaders, they should go online right
Better
now
hurry.
And purchase tickets.
Right.
We hope that, especially technology companies, we really want you to be there. And
is that what
typically
happens?
This.
Is a technology company will buy a table?
They'll buy a table.
Right.
And they'll bring, you know, women in their
right.
industry there so that they can start networking
mm-hmm.
and having some peer relationships. And we have sponsors, but we can never get enough sponsors because right. The proceeds from the event go back to serve the foundation side, which are the programs that cater right. to the students. And so on that side, there's no revenue. They don't pay anything to participate in the programs.
The kids don't pay.
They don't pay anything right. to participate in the programs. And we're trying to overcome some of the barriers. Some of the barriers could be getting actually to one of the work sites.
Oh, so they might be interested, but
they
don't
might
have
be
transportation.
Interested, but they don't have transportation. Right. So if we can provide them a MARTA card or some other kind
an
of
Uber
form
car,
of
get your Uber
yeah, you
sponsor
go.
Here in town. Let them drive them back and forth.
There you go.
Uber would be all over
Uber, we need you. So we'd be Uber excited to have you. So those are the kinds of things right. that I'm tasked with, really, to see kind of where our gaps in service
and then kind of be a matchmaker,
and
right?
be a matchmaker to bring in the right partners that can help us leverage more opportunities of participation.
So there, if you're a technology firm here in Atlanta, there's lots of ways to contribute. And just having a conversation with you would be
a
nice
great
starting
start.
Point, right? And you can right. brainstorm and you can create
we can
a
create,
custom sponsorship
we,
for them, I bet.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Lee. We have an opportunity for anyone who is interested in either, you know, we can look at it from your side, from the ROI side.
Right. And any side you want.
Any side
I'm sure
you
you're
want,
open to conversations.
We have, you know, we have lots of ways for you to get involved. Right. And I would be willing to give my time to show you how that's possible.
Right, because that's part of a big part of what you're trying
that
to do.
That is what I'm supposed to do.
And if somebody went to learn more, is there a website?
Absolutely. They can go to www.mywit.org. And there's lots of information there. And we'll be happy to, you know, start the dialogue from that point.
Well, great. Thank you so much for being part of this,
Thank
Monica.
Thank you for having me.
And best of luck with this event. It seems like you don't need it. This event's pretty much wrapped up. But going forward, if you need any of our help, we're always here to help you get the word out.
You guys are a good friend to have. We appreciate it.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Results Matter Radio.
This has been a joint production of Burr and Foreman and Business Radio X. Burr and Foreman is a full-service law firm with offices across the Southeast. If results matter to you and you want them to matter to your law firm, please give Burr and Foreman a call at 404-685-4337. For more information and to find the right attorney for you, visit burr.com. That's B-U-R-R.com.